It's the Matt Puvala Show on Radio 720 WGN. Good morning, everybody. Hope you're all doing well, having fun, staying out of trouble tonight. Good morning, Roger Badish.
Good morning, Mr. Matt Puvala.
Good morning, Mr. Sean Davis. Sean's behind the glass for us this morning.
Good morning,
how you doing,
Matt?
Sean?
How are you doing today?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Great.
Great. Excellent. You got the hat on. You got the leather jacket. What's going on in there?
Feeling good.
See, when Patty's on the air and there's women and there's alcohol in the studio, Sean's like, man.
He's got to look good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
2 hours from now, Sean will be in there in a T-shirt and, you know, having a sandwich. But right now, he's still got Mr. Cool on.
Oh, happy. First time I've seen you this year, right?
Is this the first time I've seen you this year?
Absolutely.
It's the first time we've worked together.
I mean,
passed in the hallways from time to time, right? Well, good for you. Your new year off to a good start?
It really is.
Excellent. I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad to hear that, boys, because here's the thing, guys. Think about this. When is February 2nd? It's 3 days from now, right? It's Tuesday?
Mm-hmm.
3 days from now. 3 days from now, somebody in Iowa will walk into a booth. Or no, that's not how they do it. They're all shouting out. I don't understand. Is it like the Board of Trade?
Yeah, well, they kind of gather.
What does caucusing mean?
They gather in small groups at people's homes and stuff.
Okay.
And then they yell out stuff, and then they figure out, okay, the majority is. But everyone is, like, already assigned to a candidate.
Okay.
It's not like, you know, I yell out Trump's name, but I really am going to go vote for someone else.
But
everyone's already been assigned to a candidate.
They're yelling out names. Are they actually punching a ballot or
something?
Somebody's just counting?
Yeah, I think that's how it goes.
All right. Real quick, do they know it's 2016 and that there's technology?
But no, see, this is not a primary. This is a caucus.
It doesn't matter. It's still where they assign the delegates, which means if somebody wins it, they've got a better chance of, right? I mean, it's not like it's just a referendum, like just, hey, here's what we think. It counts for something,
it's taking
right?
a pulse of the state.
But does it count?
Well, it counts for Iowa.
Right. So it's not just taking a pulse. It's saying, for the Democratic primary, for the Republican primary, here's who we're saying gets our votes at the convention, right?
Well, at that point in time, yeah.
Well, can it change after their caucus? They don't have a separate primary where it's official,
yeah, I don't think it's binding.
This is it.
I don't think it's
binding.
It's
not binding. When we vote, whenever that is, that's binding, right?
Well, yeah, but that's official. That's like a piece of paper.
Wait
computer.
A minute. Iowa's not official?
Well, it's official for Iowa.
Roger, you're killing me. What the hell does that mean? It's official for Iowa. Doesn't mean anything in the rest of the world, but in Iowa, this is gold.
Well, it does. It's like, because now the candidates could say, well, I won in Iowa, or I came in a close second, or I did better than everyone expected.
Is it literally only about momentum, or do these votes count towards their actual totals, which will decide who the Republicans decide is going to be their candidate?
No, that's decided at the convention.
Based on the votes that people did through all the primaries leading up to the convention. People don't go to the convention and go, yeah, we said this, but what the hell? I'm going with this guy.
All right, hold on a second.
It counts. All right, Roger will research that. The point being, everybody, in that just 3 days from now, somebody in Iowa is going to go, yeah, that guy, Trump, that's our guy. Somebody's going to validate this.
Right.
It's all just been blather until now. It's all been Mexicans are rapists, I'm building a wall. This guy's a girl. She's fat. He's ugly. It's been a bunch of a circus sideshow.
Right.
And then 3 days from now, it becomes legitimate.
All right. Here, U.S. Presidential Election News.com.
Okay.
Wow. That's a long title. Iowa caucuses will be held February 1st. Caucuses are an event.
Oh, I thought it was February 2nd.
Monday.
So it's Monday.
Even Tuesday. 2 days away.
Okay.
Caucuses are an event where voters from all of 1,774 Iowa voting precincts meet to elect delegates to the county conventions. From the county convention, of which there are exactly 99, that's a lot of counties, delegates are chosen for the state party convention. Eventually, the state party convention elects delegates to attend the national party convention.
My Lord. That's,
so this could change. So
can it though?
Well.
Or do they go with what happens? I mean, it's not like.
Well, obviously,
we've never had a election season before where we've said and Hillary beat up Barack in Iowa, and then like 6 months later, gone back, and in an alarming change of events, she didn't really win Iowa.
No, but we're not. I don't think I've ever heard any details about the Iowa vote after the caucus. In other words, they're saying it goes to the county convention, then the county convention to the state party convention.
But they elect
the two different parties,
the representatives,
then
to go
they elect
to those
delegates
conventions
to attend.
So theoretically, right, whatever happens on Monday stays on Monday, right? I mean,
yeah,
if it happens in Iowa, this is it. If they
right
actually say Donald Trump is our guy, that stain
well, no,
will stay
no
with Iowa throughout eternity.
All right,
they
so
will never be able to go, wait a minute, that didn't really happen. That was just a caucus.
We're no,
say,
no, no,
no. You're first in the nation, and you all said this is our guy.
Right.
They can't hide from it.
But
after
let's
it
say Trump wins, say 70% of the Republican delegates.
That would
okay
be a large number, I think, because
well,
I thought it's
know
tighter than that. But okay.
All right. Let's 70%. Just say he went 70% in the caucus.
Okay.
Then they go to the county convention. All right. Well, let's say that some of those Trump people get convinced.
Now, are they allowed to do that, though? I know that technically when we go to the Electoral College, our electors could vote for whoever they want, but they don't. They go with what they were sent there to do. I mean, we could get to an electoral
yes
college vote and everybody change it, and then it would be in the Supreme Court forever, I'm sure.
Right. Let's put it this way. Here's my understanding, is that if there is a wide margin between the top vote-getter in the caucus and the next person, there's not going to be a change between that point in time and the national convention for Iowa. I'm thinking if it's real close, you might find a percentage point switching maybe back or forth. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibilities.
We need to.
Let me just finish the process here. Hold
please,
on a second.
Please.
All right. Okay. Now, again, remember, it's for both Democrat and Republican.
Right.
Okay. Winner of the Iowa caucus receives the most delegates elected to the county convention, which then elects delegates for that candidate to the state convention and eventually to the national convention.
Which to me just says that whoever they vote for on Monday is who they stick with.
If they have the large enough majority. I think there's still a realm of possibility that they could possibly change their vote when they hit the county or the state convention. Because the state convention doesn't happen next week. Many primaries are held between the caucus and when the state convention in Iowa meets. And depending on who's riding the wave of popularity, you might find one or two delegates saying, I was going with this person, but I think this person's got a better chance of winning. They might switch. I think there's a possibility in that. Will it make a big deal? Probably not.
But I don't think that we ever really hear about that happening. All right, let's go with this from CNN and see what they have to say. No one said democracy should be easy. Iowa voters on Monday at last cast their verdicts on the Democratic and Republican presidential fields in the state's intricate and quirky caucuses, officially launching the 2016 White House race. But along with Iowa's first-in-the-nation privileges come responsibility. After all, the state's discerning political activists can make or break campaigns. Yada, yada, yada. It's fitting that the caucuses impose some unusual burdens on voters in the Iowa caucuses, unlike primaries countrywide. You can't just get away with pulling a lever in a curtain polling booth at any time of the day that's convenient. Instead, hardy Iowans must attend public meetings in school gyms, art centers, churches, libraries, restaurants, and even fire stations in 1,681 precincts to vote for a candidate. The process is much longer. It can take several hours and more convoluted than a primary ballot. So we've provided a guide to understanding how it works. Caucus meetings for Iowa Democrats and Republicans begin at 7 p.m. Central. Anyone who shows up on time can take part, but don't be late. Once the doors close, there's no entry for stragglers. Do Democrats and Republicans run their caucuses the same way? No. The GOP caucuses work like this. Caucus meetings begin with the Pledge of Allegiance, and then activists get straight to the main event, selecting their presidential candidates in a binding vote. Each campaign gets the chance to have a representative make a final pitch to any wavering voters before a secret ballot. Some caucus sites might use a printed ballot paper. Others just go with a candidate's name on a scrap of paper. Raw totals of votes are tallied by local party officials and sent to Iowa GOP headquarters, where a running count is kept. The Democratic system is more intricate. As soon as the meetings open, attendees must declare a preference for a candidate. Typically, backers of each presidential hopeful physically stake out positions around the room. People who still can't make up their mind join a group known as uncommitted. This is where it gets complicated. In order to be considered viable, a group must clear a certain threshold, usually around 15% of the entire caucus turnout in each precinct. Once first-round votes are tallied, anyone stuck in a group that is not viable has the chance to align with a candidate who has passed the threshold. What's interesting is that would work better for the Republicans this year because the ones that are going to have such a mixture of, 1%, 2%ers. Democrats really have Hillary and Bernie. I know Governor O'Malley's in there, but not really doing
much. Like 1 or 2%. Yeah.
This year, it's likely that supporters of Martin O'Malley, scraping along at a low single digit in the polls, will struggle at many caucus meetings to form a viable coalition. The former Maryland governor thinks differently, saying at a CNN town hall meeting Monday that my message to the O'Malley supporters across the state is hold strong at your caucus. But it's one of the cruel realities of the caucuses that if the O'Malley pack is too small, all the determination in the world won't be enough, and his supporters will have to decide whether to join backers of either former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton or Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders during a second count known as a realignment period. Okay, now, another controversial aspect of the Democratic caucuses is the lack of a secret ballot. So on the Republican side, you do get to have a printed ballot or scrap of paper or something where you're writing down the name. Not everybody knows what you're doing. So they can't look at you at the diner the next day and go, Merle, I cannot believe that you actually voted for Hillary.
Got to put a little more accent on that.
It's Iowa. It's not the Deep South, and it's not Minnesota. I think I'm okay.
Yeah? Okay.
I think so. All right. I was doing maybe a little Terre Haute there, but I think it all mixes together. That means people will have to live with the vote they cast in front of their friends and neighbors for the next 4 years, and the faint of heart may be susceptible to pressure from more vociferous contemporaries. I love that he worked vociferous into the story. Thus, a candidate who wins the first round of a caucus is not home safe. They can still end up losing if their supporters fail to win over backers of candidates eliminated for not passing the threshold. So, if Bernie and Hillary, maybe Bernie's behind 5% after the first vote, but then whoever's left for Martin O'Malley's there, and if they say... maybe they're just the anti-Hillary vote. They join Bernie. Suddenly, Bernie, over the top. It gets crazy. One reason why the organization and training of precinct captains is so crucial for campaigns where I would guess Hillary is going to have an edge. It's also why the second choices of voters for a presidential candidate are so important in the Democratic caucuses. Once the final count is completed, local officials work out how many delegates from a precinct each candidate gets to send to the local county convention. So how many delegates from a precinct each candidate gets to send to the local county convention, the next step in a process that will end at the Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia. So I do think that it's not going to change, that whatever happens in Iowa is, this candidate gets to send this many people. And if it's the candidate sending the people, you got to think they sort of own that person. Yeah. I decided to send them there. I think it's going to work out.
It could change at the caucus after that first run-through.
We'll continue with this in a little bit because this is interesting to talk about how it happens and what's happened in the past. We spoke with Mike Tackett from the New York Times, former Tribune guy, a while back, and he pointed out a website that I can't remember right now about this date and where they were in the polling. So you go back 4 years, 8 years, 12 years, all this time. There's a website, I think the Washington Post runs it, and it says, okay, on January, what is today, the 30th? Mm-hmm. On January 30th, 2012, where did they all stand? And it shows that whoever's leading, especially the last 3 months, doesn't mean they're going to end up anywhere. And whoever wins Iowa doesn't necessarily win everything.
Sure.
Joel Stein was pointing out to us last week that all these Republican candidates and some Democratic candidates who've won Iowa in recent years haven't gone on to do anything. Mm-hmm. So even if Donald Trump clears the hurdle in Iowa, doesn't mean he's going to actually be their candidate.
Sure.
But it is a fascinating process, and it's finally...
It's a great process.
Finally going to start kicking in this week. And I bet in Iowa, they're going to be... I'm sure the media companies have just loved this because the money that is poured in for ads has to be such a boon to all those companies. But I'm sure the residents of Iowa are ready to just throw bricks through the television because they've just had ad.
Well, I'm sure they've been bombarded for about 6 months, if not a year already.
It's got to be crazy.
Yeah.
And it's got to be, I'm sure there'll be an article about this next week, and I'm going to try to find it for next week. And I'm sure there's going to be an article about the economic impact on Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there have been many, but I'm going to find a good one next week because it's got to be insane.
But then what happens after Monday? It disappears.
Then you save your pennies. Just like Joseph, you save up 7 years of grain because the drought's coming. They got four more years till there's another candidate, right? Because they don't matter quite as much in the general election, but they sure matter right now. Matt Bubala with you, Radio 720 WGN. It's the Matt Bubala Show, Radio 720 WGN, T-minus 3 days. until, or 2 days, I guess, because we got Sunday, we got Monday. Wow, we're like a day away, Roger. It's almost here. And actually, Monday, don't we have both Mr. Cochran and Ro Khan broadcasting from Iowa? Where are they going to be at? Are they in Des Moines? Where are they going? Do we know?
I don't have the details.
All right, we're going to have to find that out.
Okay.
I mean, can we all road trip and go sit and hang out with them?
Road trip. Yeah, why not?
I'll buy snacks.
I'm not doing anything Monday except recovering from working all weekend.
Sean, will you try to find out where Steve and Ro are going to broadcast from on Monday? That's really cool that they're doing that. I think that's awesome. Good for them. Good for us. Good for WGN. Make sure you're listening on Monday morning. I wonder where Kevin's going to eat. I know that it's like a whole democratic process and we're there about that, but I bet Kevin's going to eat at that world's largest truck stop. You know, that world's largest truck stop on
On the way.
Yeah.
He's right. Totally going to.
He might not make it for the show.
Because I bet you guys go ahead. I'll catch up.
I'll bet the rolling hot dogs there are really good.
Well, you know, once he gets it, wherever they're going to be, he's got to check out every place.
You got to buy a lot of Tums for Kevin on these road trips because he'll try anything anywhere. And it's not like he's a crazy foodie who's going to be at some French bistro.
No.
He's totally at the world's largest truck stop.
Yeah.
Who shows up to vote? This is back to the CNN article we were reading from. Now, this is interesting because, you know, we talk about low voter turnout, this and that.
Right.
But in a caucus where this sets the momentum, this does everything.
Sure.
Turnout is everything, right?
Right.
He writes, for some voters, it's all too much trouble. So the actual electorate in the caucuses is only a fraction of the tallies of registered Democrats and Republicans who will vote in the fall. That's one reason why you often hear complaints that the caucuses are hardly the most democratic process, especially given the state's disproportionate influence on the presidential race. Generally, caucus participation has been around 20% of registered voters in each party in recent election cycles. In 2004, for example, there were 500,000 registered Democrats in Iowa, but only 124,000 or so showed up on caucus night, according to the Iowa Caucus Project at Drake University. In 2012, there were 614,000 registered Hawkeye Republicans, but only 121,000 made it out on caucus night. Boy, we talk about every vote counts, everything, you know, and when we get to the general election, you know, you start hearing so early in the day how people are doing this and that, and you get this kind of, should I go out and vote? Should I not go out and vote? And I think a lot of us feel it's our duty, no matter what, we should be voting, and I think that's absolutely true. But you kind of feel like, this thing's already decided. It's a blah, blah, blah. Talk about a place where every vote matters. I mean, such a small percentage are showing up. It matters to get out there, and actually, if you have a candidate you want to see, you got to get out there and caucus. And not only can you vote, but on the Democratic side, you can try to push people into voting for your guy. And, you know, if you know somebody who's like, no, I'm supporting O'Malley, we're going to do it, then you're thinking, oh, God, I'm so bringing you over to my side once you bail out on him. I mean, you can really be a part of it's kind of electrifying to think about how you can get in there and really swing
something. Kind of like being down on the floor of the commodities exchange.
Yes.
Yelling and screaming back and forth.
They don't do that anymore, right?
I think it's all computerized now.
I think they phased that out. Very sad. Okay, the exception to the rule was in 2008 during the electrifying race between Clinton and then Illinois Senator Barack Obama, who made good on a vow to turn out new voters. A stunning 239,000 Democrats flocked to take part, a figure equivalent to nearly 40% of the party's registered voters.
Wow.
Both Republican Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders dream of such a showing on Monday night. The Vermont senator, however, warned on Tuesday that he'd probably not match the Obama surge. Quote, frankly, I don't think we can. What Obama did in 2008 is extraordinary, Sanders said. Mm-hmm. Another wrinkle that angers critics is the way independents are shut out. Only registered Democrats or Republicans can take part. Now, in theory, people who have not previously registered to vote can arrive at a caucus site and do so. And it is possible to switch party affiliation on that night. But the system is still criticized for keeping out more moderate voters and often leads to a perception that only the most committed radical voters show up. There were frequent veiled whispers from the Clinton campaign in 2008 that the system unfairly helped Obama, who ran to the former New York senator's left. Clinton was still simmering in 2012 when she told her friend Sidney Blumenthal in a recently released email that the caucuses were, quote, creatures of the party's extremes. And that's what the whole primary season is, I think, is the party's extremes. All of these guys are playing to the most committed, most radical part of their parties because those are the people they know are definitely getting out to vote. And that's who you have to win in the primaries. And then you're going to see, you know, if Trump actually gets the general nominee, now he might be the one wild card that's like, no, I'm going to stay as crazy as I've been because I like this. Or it'll be interesting to see if he moves more to the center, because you got to get more than just your most radical people to vote for you when you get to the general. When will we know who won? The final tabulated results will be declared by the Democratic and Republican parties. Could be all wrapped up between about 11 p.m. Eastern and midnight Eastern, but soon after the caucus doors close. It should be possible for CNN to report where the race is heading and begin the process of projecting a winner and estimating the delegate count. Iowa officials will be hoping that there will be no repeat of the debacle of 2012. On that night, Mitt Romney was declared the winner by only 8 votes over former Pennsylvania Senator Rick Santorum, who is running again this year. I had forgotten that Rick Santorum was even running. He's running. He's one of them. He's Rick Santorum?
I think he's still
running. I literally have not heard that name in months. He must be deep on the undercard. A certified tally issued a few weeks later found Santorum had won by 34 votes.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's pretty interesting. They say, though, by then it was too late. Santorum had been deprived of the momentum and Iowa caucus win brings. Romney was on a roll and had won New Hampshire en route to the GOP nomination.
How soon after Iowa caucus is New Hampshire?
That's like 3 days later or something. Well, it can't be. It's got to be at least a week later. Yes, please look that up. It's coming soon. Well, actually, don't look it up. I'll look it up because it's time for you to start doing some news, my good friend. It's 2:31 in the morning.